Good morning. Good morning. Okay, good morning, everyone. Good morning. Okay, so we have a long davening and short rashis. Three very quick rashis and parshas Vayelech. Number one, Hashem promises us that even if we enter Eretz Yisrael and we face frightening enemies, Chizku v'yinsu al tiru, Moshe tells us, v'al tartzu mipnehem, don't be frightened. Ki Hashem elokecha hu aleichimach, lo yarpicha v'lo yasvecha. So we would think that these are both decisions and actions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He won't forsake you, lo yasvecha v'lo yarpicha, rifayo means loosening. Not only will he not abandon you, but he'll hold tightly. The relationship will be very, very tight and intimate, and there won't be any loosening of that interaction. Lo yarpecha v'lo yasvecha. We recite this very often in the Slichos. Rashi switches up the word lo yarpecha. Grammatically, lo yarpecha doesn't mean he won't loosen his hold on you, but he won't allow you to loosen your hold of him. He won't allow you to walk away from him. Lo yarpecha, lo yitain lecha rifayon lihiyoz nezav mimeno. Lo yarpecha, lo yitain lecha rifayon. Not only will he not lose and loosen the relationship, which means that sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu invades our own decision-making. You think that the decision to abandon or forsake HaKadosh Baruch Hu is ours, and if we walk away, we walk away, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't change that, that's our decision. He can make his decisions not to abandon us, not to loosen his hold, and we'll make our decisions because of freedom of choice. This is the season of freedom of choice. We have absolute freedom. But this Rashi informs us, the way he interprets the pasuk is that sometimes, either at a collective level, as a nation, when we feel that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is more distant and we have difficulty decoding him and seeing him, sometimes Hashem sends simanim and indicators for us to see that he's still there. I think 80 years ago after the Holocaust, people felt as if the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Am Yisrael was suffering, was being strained. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu restored some of that belief and sent us a sign that we shouldn't walk away, we shouldn't lose hope and abandon hope. And at a personal level, sometimes you feel forsaken, you feel abandoned, you feel distant from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And sometimes, even though you feel distant, especially when you're married in Chait, Hashem can send the signal that won't allow you to give up hope. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't just refuse to walk away from us, but he refuses to let us feel distant and shrouded in darkness. And at a collective or personal level, lo yarpecha, lo yitain lecha rifayon. Not just will he not loosen his hold, but he intercedes and intervenes in our experience, at least in sending us signs that allows us not to abandon and not to walk away. So lo yarpecha, lo yitain lecha rifayon. Second interesting Rashi is Moshe tells Yoshua, ki ata tavo es ha'am hazeh. Onkelos interprets, you will come into the country with the nation. Whereas later, Moshe issues the exact same pasuk, almost the same, Chazak v'yemaz ki ata tavi es b'nei Yisrael. Not tavo es ha'am hazeh, but tavi es b'nei Yisrael. So Rashi notices the difference. Tavo es ha'am means you'll accompany them. You, the leadership, zekenim shebador yuimach. There'll be a broad base of leadership, a brain trust. You'll walk with them. You'll empower them. The nation itself will feel empowered. Tavo es ha'am. You'll walk with them. You'll be accompanied by your brain trust and the entire people. Even though you're the leader, you'll empower people to feel like they're part of the process. Whereas later, Rashi, the language is Tavi es b'nei Yisrael. Rashi says that's you enforcing and authoritative and instructing and commanding. That's more of a hierarchical relationship. Not Tavo es ha'am. You'll walk with the people in this gedim. But Tavi, you'll impose your authority and you'll make demands and issue instructions and commands. Rashi actually says that Moshe preferred the first version, but Hashem instructed him to the second version. Moshe preferred a leadership of empowerment. Not where you impose your authority, but you set an example, a role model, and you try to empower people around you to feel part of the process, to own the process. Moshe preferred Tavo es ha'am. You, the Skenim, the people should enter Eretz Yisrael. Hashem says sometimes that's not always practical. Sometimes you need there to be one authority figure, one force. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu corrects Moshe, not Tavo es ha'am, but Tavi es ha'am, as Rashi says, Dabar echad lador, velo shnei dabarim lador. There can only be one leader, there can't be multiple leaders. I remember of Lichtenstein, we'd always struggle with him after Shir. And we'd say, Rebbe, can we take your Sfarim back to the Beis Medrash? And he refused because he didn't like people serving him. So he carried this big, big Rambam and a big Shas and all of his Rishonim, and we'd be pleading with him, Rebbe, please, let us take these Svarim back to the Beis Medrash for you. And he said no, and he took them back every day by himself. One day, one of the boys said, Rebbe, don't you understand you're depriving us of the mitzvah of Shimush Talmid Chachamim? Don't you realize that? Like, it's not your decision, it's not your call. This is our mitzvah, and you're hampering our ability to perform that mitzvah and gain that training. So Rav Aaron looked at us and said, I know, but I can't. Namely, he knows that he was performing a disservice to us, but it wasn't in his constitution to allow people to serve him. He sends this with Moshe. Moshe doesn't want to be served. Moshe doesn't, his view of leadership is not, I'm instructing and you're receiving the commands. It's joint, it's empowerment. When he instructs Yoshua in Parshas Bishalach to war with Amalek while he's on the mountain, what does he say? Bechar lanu anashim. Bechar lanu anashim? Since when is it lanu? Since when are we in the same sentence? You're Moshe Rabbeinu. You defied Paro. I'm just your disciple, Yoshua. What is it? Bechar lanu anashim. The great secret of education, the great secret of parenting is empowerment, to make people feel like they're part of the process. They have a voice. They have a say, rather than just imposing your iron will. But sometimes people need authority. Sometimes people need clarity. Sometimes when people ask me for decisions, I prefer not to make decisions. I prefer just to go through the process and highlight the various factors and empower you to make the decision. But sometimes I'll sense that a boy just needs me to own the decision for him. And sometimes needs me just to say, I'm making this decision. This is what's happening. It's more efficient. It's more clear. It's more productive. So there are different forms of leadership. And again, don't get lost in this term of leadership, highfalutin, politicians, world leaders. Leadership just means how you interact when you're trying to help people advance in life and inspire them in life. Sometimes you want to create empowerment and you want to create a sense of shared experience, and Moshe actually prefers that. He says, Tavo es ha'am, when he's instructing Yeshua about leadership. Hashem Baruch Hu says, next time you talk to Yeshua, in the end of the parasha, don't say Tavo, say Tavi es ha'am. So it's an interesting Rashi about that contrast. A third interesting Rashi is about the instruction of Moshe to the Shevet of Levi to take the Sefer Torah he writes for them and to place it near the Aron Bris Hashem. Okay, that makes sense. There's not a Sefer Torah for you to hold in your bedroom, your living room. Place it near the Aron. But the language is very fascinating. It says, Lakoach a Sefer HaTorah. Not Tikach or Lakoach. Lakoach is, my grammar is 30 years old, but I haven't practiced English grammar, but there's a phrase for this. There's a grammatical phrase, something that's present perfect, and that continues, there's a continuity. Anyone an expert at grammar, we, there's a verb that is continuous and it happens again and again. And Rashi provides, what?
Infinitive.
Rashi provides parallels. Just like the word Zachar isn't a one-off event. Zachar is a Sha'asir Malik, but it continues throughout each generation, possibly the entire year. Zachar is a Sha'asir Malik. Same thing, Shamar, as Chodesh Aviv, each year throughout history, Jews have been careful to calibrate Pesach with spring. Lakoch means it's a continuous, ongoing, unfurling activity. The problem is it isn't, because it was a once-in-history event, taking the Sefer Torah and placing it near the Aron. Even the Levim who received that Torah performed that activity once. It's a physical activity of relocating the Sefer Torah from Moshe's tent or wherever he delivered it to them near the Aron. Evidently, there's something deeper about this activity, and not just the physical relocation of the Torah, but the metaphor and what it signifies. So why was the Torah placed near the Aron? Because the Aron is testimony. The Aron provides testimony for each generation about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love for the Jewish people, about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's forgiveness. That's why it's called Aron HaEdos. So if the Aron is an Aron HaEdos, the Torah also has Eidos, has testimony. Placing the Torah near the Aron is not just logistically helpful, it's your juxtaposing two different forms of testimony. There's a testimony of the Aron, there's a testimony of the Torah. Sadly, we've lost the testimony of the Aron, but there is a testimony of the Torah. It testifies to Hashem's presence, it testifies to the divine will, it testifies to all of creation being based on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Torah is considered Eidos, not just a Shir, it's considered Eidos. So therefore, the question is, why is this verb of creating testimony for Torah articulated in an ongoing, continuous process? The answer is because every generation has to reimagine the testimony and the relevancy of Torah. Torah is eternal, Torah is timeless, but has to be interpreted for each generation. So part of the struggle is, what message does Torah have for the 21st century? It's a very different message than the message of the Torah for the 19th century and the 18th century. The mitzvahs remain the same, the moral codes remain the same, but human anthropology and human history is very different. we're no longer traveling in steam engines, we're traveling in automobiles. We no longer live under feudal monarchies, we live in democracies. So we have to try to tease out new testimonies, new messages, new relevancies of Torah in each generation. So that process, metaphorically, of taking the Sefer Torah from some cubbyhole or some aron and placing it as a testimony in the days of the Beis HaMikdash alongside the aron, we no longer have that aron, is an ongoing process, just like eliminating Amalek. So it's articulated, Rashi says, as lekoach. Rashi says again, lekoach kimo zachar v'shamar. So three different Rashis. One Rashi, lo yarpecha, not only will Hashem not loosen his hold on you, but he won't allow you to walk away. He'll create opportunities to return even when you feel flustered or vexed by the inability to feel close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You feel that he's distant and you're distant from him. He'll create signs and anchor points for you to return. Lo yitain l'charifayon. He'll intervene even in your freedom of choice to offer you at least greater opportunities and greater horizons to return. The second Rashi is the difference between tavoesam and taviyasam. Moshe prefers empowerment, shared experience. Hashem says, sometimes it's not that. Look at democracy. Democracy is a shared experience. Look at the logjam in modern democracies. Israel, gridlock. America, bipartisan politics. England, one big circus. So sometimes you need there to be, and that's why people find totalitarian rules by strong-armed dictator-like figures very appealing, because it's clear and it's efficient and there's one seat of authority and the decisions are very, very immediate and empower and authoritative. So they're two different models of leadership, and Moshe just doesn't have it in him to imagine that. And then Akash Boko says, this is how we're going to roll. Sometimes in Eretz Yisrael, can't ask too many questions. And the final part is Zachar Shamar Lakoach. Placing the Sefer Torah next to the Aron physically happened once in history. But trying to tease out meaning of the Torah so there should be an aid for human experience, that has to be reimagined every generation. It's a very different world you're living in than the world I grew up in and Rabbi Spitz grew up in. How can we render Torah relevant? We believe it's relevant. There are many questions we have. And you know what? There are many questions about Torah we may not discover the answers to in my lifetime or your lifetime. There are many unanswered questions. Holocaust will probably remain an unanswered question for a long time. Certain ways people are created today, you know what I'm referring to, it's too long to elaborate them, that are against HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah and Halacha, but they have a genetic disposition. We don't understand a lot of things, so we have to try to explore the Torah, find answers. If we don't have answers, we believe there's eternal truth to Torah, we just may not be successful in teasing out the answers. We shouldn't give up hope. Okay? Have a great day, everyone. Yeah, Shakach to...